Hey, this is Miss Melissa, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. It's the Dog Days of Podcasting. It's Saturday, August 29th, 2015. I'm getting this in just under the wire. I'm recording this on my bed, on my iPad, because I can't climb the stairs to the Word Lounge where my microphone lives. A couple of weeks ago, I had an injury where one of my heaviest dogs, he was 100 pounds, slammed into me laterally at the knee on the stairs, and I twisted every ligament in my knee. Some days it's been fine and I could walk with just a little bit of annoyance. And the last couple of days it's been at the point where I feel really unstable walking. I have wraps and braces and ice and ibuprofen, which is the thing that's been the most helpful actually. And I'm trying to keep it elevated and still. And I'm doing all of the exercises my doctor has told me to do. But walking up and down stairs, especially when you're 5 feet tall, is really, really hard because the stairs are always just a little bit too tall for comfort. And the impact actually of going down the stairs is what's really killing me. Up is easy. Down is hard. I was lying in a tub full of lavender-scented bubbles earlier this evening listening to Jane Curtin read a short story as part of NPR's Selected Shorts. It's one of my favorite things to listen to. It's on Saturday evenings, at least on my NPR station, it's on Saturday evenings. I never know who syndicates what when because I really don't pay attention. Lately, I've been listening to my local radio station over TuneIn.com over my Roku TV because I don't have a really good radio in the bedroom or the master bathroom, and the speakers on the TV are better than the little clock radio. And because it's coming through the Roku on cable internet, it has no interference, so there's never static and I don't have to tune. I just say, play this, and it does. Despite the fact that I'm in a room right now surrounded by sleeping dogs and dormant technology, it's all on standby, except obviously for the iPad I'm using, I have been feeling really nostalgic all summer. Part of it was turning 45. Part of it was all the projects that my friend Deborah asked her friends to be involved with, where we were writing essays about our perfect childhood summers. And while I wrote mostly about the beach and summers at the Jersey Shore and those sorts of memories, other memories have been surfacing and I've been incorporating them into some of the writing projects that I don't typically talk about. Some of those memories involve the innocence of slumber parties and the games that we used to play before we were always doing video games or role-playing games, things like light as a feather, stiff as a board, or endless card games that were just silly, or Twister, or slip and slides, or telling each other ghost stories by flashlight until we were so scared we didn't sleep. I have a very vivid imagination, so for me that's really easy. But usually I was the one telling the stories rather than being scared by them. It's that element of control that keeps my brain from going to the really, really dark places and is at inopportune times. But yeah, story has been coming back to me a lot. A lot of the people I've been talking to, Becca and Deborah, both brought everything back to story being important. And I agree. I think everything is about the stories that we tell. Several years ago, for All Things Girl, I got to interview Marsha Mason, who is one of the actors whose work I grew up with. I remember most people my age remember seeing her in The Goodbye Girl as children, probably watching with their mothers. My first introduction to her was, of course, in something dark and spooky, Audrey Rose, which is all about reincarnation and possession, and it's actually a really lovely story. The book was much, much better than the movie, but that was my introduction to her. Now, when she's not a working actor, she actually is an organic lavender farmer, and I thought that was really interesting. She has dogs and this farm where she raises organic lavender, and she basically has to do whatever she wants. But one of the things she said was everyone should write. everyone should write and everyone should tell their story, because even if two of us have very similar backgrounds, our perceptions and experiences are never the same. I started blogging in 2001. Actually, I started earlier than that, but I started really paying attention to it in 2001 when there were decent engines out there, so I didn't have to learn how to code. I can. I just don't like to. I'm lazy. My favorite mantra is, blessed are the lazy in nature, for it is they who shall invent the shortcuts, which is why I have Boss Jock on my iPad. But yeah, I started blogging in 2001, and I haven't really been doing a good job. I don't keep a diary. I don't keep a journal, despite the fact that people keep giving me blank diaries and journals, and I did a whole episode on this last year. They keep giving me these blank books because they know I'm a writer, but I don't like to write in blank books, and I really don't write that much on paper anymore. I do most things directly on the keyboard because it's just faster and it's easier and I think better that way. But also because it's a very contemporary kind of snarky writing voice that I've been doing most of my stuff in, so that works for me. Although, I still have spiral notebooks. I like spiral notebooks. I like college rules. I like liquid ink. I like the way pens scratch over paper. And there are certain pieces that have to be written longhand because you do have a slower, more thoughtful voice when you write that way. But even though I blog, my blog is this weird combination of being both incredibly open and incredibly guarded at the same time. It's a really odd balance, but it's one that works for me. And it's on purpose. It's intentional. Because, first, I don't believe in writing things ever that somebody isn't going to read. And second, I have this love-hate relationship with blogging and any other kind of thing where you're putting your voice out there where I don't understand why anybody would read it, because who am I? I think it's kind of a little bit narcissistic to expect that other people read or listen to our stuff. And yet we still do it, and it's fun, because we want our stories to be told. And really, the only person who can ever tell your own story is you. I'm rambling because I'm really tired, and I'm in pain, and I wanted to at least not skip another day. So I'm going to end this with just the thought that everyone should write, and everyone should tell a story, and it's okay if the story changes. Thanks for listening.
The Bathtub Mermaid is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Music for this episode was provided by Mebio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mebio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. The Bathtub Mermaid is produced and recorded using Boss Jock and Audacity. You can contact me by leaving a comment at the website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, by finding me on Twitter, at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or by sending an email to Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at starfleet.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.
Still it shows, but you can't use my bathtub. Understand, you can't use my bathtub. Yes, you can.